You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. My apologies for Friday. I got a sinus infection. Yes, a fever, pink eye. It was a mess. I ended up not doing the Michael Kay show. We were supposed to do a remote. I probably would have been okay to do the show from home, but that doesn't make any sense when you have a remote. So I just slept all day Friday, hopped on a plane to Buffalo, did the pre and post for Rangers Sabres on Saturday, and I did the game yesterday between the Rangers and the Penguins. So still got a bit of a cough, but no fever. The pink eye's gone. The antibiotics worked. So I apologize for not having a Friday show, but still plenty to talk about today. We'll get to some of your tweets. No EJ today, unfortunately, because of the general manager's meetings. He's down there, so we'll hopefully catch up with him next week. But wanted to talk about the Rangers-Penguins yesterday. Rangers do get a point, which helps for them holding off Pittsburgh for the three seed in the Metropolitan Division. Now a 6-point lead for the Rangers, but they do have two games to play. They're going to play Thursday and Saturday at the Garden. So back-to-back games between the Rangers and the Penguins. So the Rangers not out of the woods, fall into the wild card. If Pittsburgh were to win both those games clean, they can cut it to a 2-point deficit with still 13 games left to play. So not out of the woods. Rangers did fight back. Kreider missed an amazing wide-open net on the power play that would have tied the game, but he eventually ties the game in the third period, only to see Letang score in overtime. So a good job by the Penguins, who get a win, and Jari was good. The Rangers flopping lines again, and it's really become a topic of conversation here about all the line shuffling that's been done. And the best line yesterday was the line that wasn't messed with, was the Mott, Gaudreau, and VC line. It produced the first goal of the game, and I thought their best opportunities came there. And I just wonder, is continuity sometimes what's going to have to win the day here? Shuffled the lines against Buffalo, and it worked, and they won the game in overtime. Kane playing with Hedl and Lafreniere for a while. Then that got flip-flop when the Rangers were chasing a goal yesterday. And the organization seems somewhat sensitive about it, and Gallant will say every team shuffles lines, which is true. But I just wonder, would it make sense to just ride out lines, even if they're not producing, just to create the continuity? You've got Tarasenko's been here for about a month now. His game's starting to come along, but it took a while. He had never left St. Louis before. Now he's a Ranger and playing with different players. And then, of course, Kane never left Chicago until the trade a couple of weeks ago, and he's only played four games, and he's been on like three different lines in that span of time. Is that even if it's not producing and the team is losing, does it make sense to just keep the lines together just so there can be some chemistry that can be built over time? That would just be my question. Clearly, he wants to find the right combinations to see what he can settle in on, but it just seems like it settles in for a little while, and the second they get shut out or the second they need a goal. And I guess coaches do feel like they want to be able to have a handle on what's going on and try to change things as they can. So it's not really a criticism, but it's just an observation of, would it just be better? Here are our four lines, better or worse. We're going to play at least the next week with these lines and just hope we can build some continuity. They'll be better at the end of the week than they were in the beginning of the week and just kind of move forward from there. Because players and athletes in general are usually creatures of habit, and it might be just a good idea to know that you've got the same line mates for a consistent period of time, because it just continues to happen. Trocheck had a tremendous game, big hits on Malkin, which flipped out the Penguin crowd, loosening the puck up for Kreider to be able to get the game-tying goal. But at the end of the day, Panarin takes down Malkin, leading to the power play goal for Letang. So it's going to be fun down the stretch here with these games that the Rangers are going to play back-to-back against Pittsburgh if the Rangers can hold off and fall out of the wild card, because catching New Jersey now is an impossibility. The Rangers have played the same amount of games as the Devils, 66, and they're 10 points back of New Jersey. New Jersey had a shutout win over Carolina by the final score of 3-0, so they're tied in points, although Carolina does have a game in hand. Vanacek makes 32 saves in the win. We finally get to see Hughes, who scored a goal, is 37th. Brad had two. He now has 27 on the year. And I'm telling you, pick your poison if you're the Rangers, right? Like, who do you want to play in the first round, New Jersey or the Hurricanes? Now, they've beaten the Hurricanes the two times they played them this season. So the knee-jerk reaction would be that you want to face the Hurricanes. The Devil, on the other hand, are a team that's very inexperienced. But they've loaded up by getting Timo Meier. They were able to keep Mercer. He's had a great season. Bratt's had a great season. I tell you, the East is loaded, man. I was just doing an interview up in Albany today, and we were discussing just about like what teams improve themselves the most. The best team in the league's Boston, and they improve themselves with the Bertuzzi deal, the Orloff deal, the Hathaway deal. You know, Toronto gets O'Reilly. That's a huge deal. The Devils get Timo Meier. Of course, the Rangers get Kane. If you go back to the Mikkola and Tarasenko deal, Carolina gets Gostisbehere. That was a good move for them. Pittsburgh, they're able to get Grantland, which I think was a pretty decent move for them. Islanders didn't really do much unless you go back, a couple of months to the Horvat deal. So you look at the eight teams right now in the East. Carolina's in first. Devils having an amazing season. Rangers went to the conference final last year. Boston's going to win the President's Trophy. Nobody's talking about Toronto because they're stuck behind Boston, but Toronto is an outstanding team. They've got 88 points, a plus 48 goal differential. Tampa, nobody's talking about them. They've got the best goaltender in the conference, at least historically, in Vasilevsky. They've gone to the Stanley Cup final three straight years. Two cups jingling and jangling recent vintage. All right. Pittsburgh, they never seem to get out of the first round, but you still have Malkin, you still have Crosby, who's having an amazing season. Letang has been very good. They put the band back together and it's worked. I mean, the Islanders, Sorokin can steal a series for you if they can get Barzell back. Florida, still 3 points back. They've got a game in hand on the Islanders. They're still not out of it. So this Eastern Conference is just going to be tough.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So much better than I think than the West. Vegas, very good. Dallas, very good. Colorado obviously won the Stanley Cup last year. But are any of these teams comparable to all the teams that I just mentioned in the East? Pretty good stuff. Boston actually loses a game 5-3 on national television. That was the first game of the doubleheader on TNT. Red Wings are cooked, but you could still see that Larkin's having an amazing year. They put up a 4-spot Detroit, and Boston comes back to make it 4-3, only to lose on the empty netter. Golden Knights win on the road, as per usual, 5-3 over Boston. That's a big win for the Jets over the Lightning. 3-2 is the final score there. The difference in the game ended up being Barron's goal, his 7th at 9:02 of the second period, to give him a 3-1 lead. They only had 22 shots on goal, but did a good job in cashing in on those opportunities. So the Winnipeg Jets, as we sit in the Central Division, third place with 79 points, climb out of the wild card. Colorado still looming with 78 points, so that's going to be a back and forth. Colorado, three games in hand on Winnipeg, so that was a nice win. But really, whether it's winning the division, whether it's finishing third in the division, or settling for the wild card, outside of home ice advantage, I don't think anybody's really got to worry about not making the playoffs of the playoff teams in the Western Conference. Because the Flames did win over the Senators. We can put the Ottawa Senators to bed, I think, now with the Flames' victory. Predators win as well. So those are the two teams on the outside looking in, but they're 5 points back. Nashville's 5 points back at Colorado. Calgary also the same. Calgary trying to catch Seattle. That's not going to happen. They're 8 points back of Seattle for third place in the Pacific Division, so they got to focus on the wild card. Say, now Nashville can try to chase down Colorado. They can also see if they can chase down Winnipeg, 6 points back of Winnipeg with three games in hand. So Nashville's still kind of lurking, but with their minus three goal differential, again, I just don't think that Nashville is going to be that big of a threat, but those two teams still mathematically alive for a chance to be able to make the playoffs. But that was a good win for the Predators in overtime over the Ducks. Ducks are a team you have to be able to beat to make the playoffs. And Novik gets the goal, his 12th of the season, a minute and 12 into overtime to be able to win that one. Only three games on the docket tonight. Sabres and the Maple Leafs from Toronto. The Sabres, a lot of work to do. They've got these games in hand. They've got 69 points, but now they see the deficit 7 against the Islanders. Do have three games in hand, but even the games in hand don't help them. If they wanted to be able to catch third place Tampa, that's not going to happen. Tampa's got 84 points, 69 for Buffalo, so that's not going to happen even with the two games in hand. Washington's still lurking around. They've only won 4 of their last 10, however. They're 5 points back with one game in hand on the Islanders. I'm beginning to think that really Florida's the only team that's got a chance. Time maybe to put to bed Washington, Ottawa, Buffalo, and Detroit. And now as we get closer and closer to the middle of March here, the Ides of March, it's looking like we've only got Florida, Nashville, and Calgary as the three teams on the outside looking in to make the playoffs. That can still have a shot. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Let's go to Derek, who says, what does the future look like for Joel Quenneville in your view? In my view, he deserves a second chance. Well, I think everybody deserves a second chance. The question is, and we've talked about this a lot on Game Misconduct, when is enough enough? Like, what is the time where you could say, let's bring him in? I think it really depends on the team. That's why I thought when the Islanders were, or at least when we were having conversations about the Islanders possibly going, changing coaches with Lambert, would Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders be a place for Quenneville? Kind of the Islanders, a little low profile as far as the press is concerned. Lou Lamoriello, a very respected general manager, might go down a little bit easier than maybe a neophyte general manager in a bigger market, or a lot more attention on them doing it. That's interesting. I do think that his opportunity is going to come, but I don't think it's going to happen this off season. My prediction's probably going to be if somebody gets fired early next year, Quenneville could be the guy. We'll have to see there. There's a lot of things in play. Like, what's going to happen in Philadelphia now with all the changes with Cliff Fletcher gone? You know, is that possibly a destination for Quenneville? Again, a high profile place, but they get the right respected people in there. I know Daniel Briere is involved. Is that a place that Quenneville can possibly go? He's going to coach again, guys, right? So we got to get over the whole idea that he's banned for life. Or at least I think so. So it's just a matter of timing. So I do think it's going to be sooner than later, but not immediately. Keegan says, oh, my sad Buffalo Sabres finding the annual banana peel wherever they can. Do you remember the last time a team that finished top 5 in goals per game completely missed the playoffs? Speaks to the strength of the East, but still, no, but that's it. I mean, that's the question. I mean, they are averaging 3.65 goals per game, and this is a team that's going to miss the playoffs. And the goaltending has been a major problem for them. They're a fun team, they're a wide-open team, but they're an undisciplined team. And that's what, at least what I was able to see watching the game live on Saturday, that they can bring it offensively, but it does come at the expense of a lot of opportunities the other way. They've got to learn the structure of how they can be a great offensive team, but it not come at the expense of odd man rushes the other way. Michael Silver says, should Gerard Gallant take on a more disciplinary approach to players who continue to force East-West hockey and turn the puck over? Michael, it's a tremendous question. Sometimes the Rangers get a little too Harlem Globetrotty, for a better phrase, lack of a better phrase, that, you know, these blind between the leg passes that are just, there's nobody open. I think Gallant, he spoke to it, that he wants his players to find some creativity. Some of it gets explained away by the fact that they don't have a lot of chemistry because of all the new players that have come over. But you look around the league, Michael, if you pay attention, you do not see a lot of responsible passes. I don't know if there's a stat, I'm sure there is, of completion percentages for players. But I bet you it's down this year compared to other years. It just seems like for the sake of creativity, you see some of the dumbest passes in this league. And when they connect, it looks brilliant, and it makes SportsCenter, and it makes all the highlight shows, and we're all hemming and hawing. But a lot of times, it just creates just a bad turnover. And I don't think the Rangers are the only ones that are guilty of that. Yankees and Penguins says, hey, Don, do you think that the eight playoff teams in the West are decided already? Yes. Nashville and Calgary, as I mentioned, still have a chance, but I don't think either of those teams are consistent enough to do it. I think the eight teams are set in the West. All right, AZ Ranger says, Don, true or false, the Rangers are the third best team in the metro area. Now, that was something that was thrown out there by the New York Post's Hall of Fame writer Larry Brooks. I don't see where you can tell me that the Islanders are better than the Rangers, other than the way Sorokin has played this year. I guess that would be Larry's angle, that Igor's been a little inconsistent, not as good as he was last year, and that Sorokin, if he was to play the Rangers in a best-of-seven series, be the better goaltender and win. The Islanders had the better of the season series this year, so if you want to go on that angle, but you look at the talent up and down on this team, I'm telling you, they got 16 games left. Let's see the chemistry start to build. But a team with Kane and Tarasenko and Kreider and Zibanejad and Panarin and Trouba and Miller and Fox, the Islanders are not better. Now, the Devils, I mean, you can make the case. The Devils are having an amazing season. I would not put their goaltending up there with Sorokin or Shesterkin. I would say the Devils have the third best goaltending of the three. But you take a look at the standings, right? It's Devils, Rangers, and Islanders, and the Islanders haven't even solidified a playoff spot yet. So I think that's, listen, Larry's a class act. He's not doing things to create clicks, although I do think he likes to stir the pot a bit. I don't think he ever says something that he doesn't feel, but I would say that he would probably look deeper at the roster and say the Rangers are much better. But Sorokin can be an X factor, because I think he's been the best goaltender in New York so far this year. Jimmy Berger says, did the Hurricanes do enough at the deadline to keep up with the rest of the East? I've only watched them a handful of times this season, but want to know your thoughts on the eye test when you watch them. Well, the eye test told me that they could have used a center. Easier said than done. They do not like, that organization does not like to give up draft picks. And when you look at the picks that were thrown around at the deadline, tells you that they were not going to be able to keep up with the Joneses with that philosophy. They didn't do a lot, and the Devils did, and the Rangers did. And if you count Horvat with the Islanders, they did. You know, and Toronto did, and Boston did. So, but Carolina's been a consistent playoff team. They didn't need a lot to begin with. Maybe a center, but again, you just don't go to the NHL store and buy a center. Yeah, maybe a little bit more would have been fruitful, so we'll see there. Joseph says, when do we begin to get worried about the Rangers? Their defense has been horrendous. Joseph, it's just the bad turnovers. I don't think they're awful defensively. It's not like they're giving up a ton of goals. And let's also not forget that they're playing without Ryan Lindgren. You know, seven straight games without Ryan Lindgren. They have not been whole for a while now. Now, is Ryan Lindgren, you know, a Norris Trophy candidate? No, but he makes for an excellent pairing with Fox. Now, I think Mikkel has done a great job filling in for Lindgren, but you are missing your probably second-best defenseman. He's your first-pair defenseman with Fox. And, again, Mikkel, you don't miss that much of a step, but I'd like to see this team whole. If you've got a defensive pairings, and hopefully Lindgren will play tomorrow against Washington, you'll get Lindgren and Fox back, Miller and Trouba, and then you can have Mikkola play with Schneider. You're doing well with Harper being your seventh defenseman. So let's not forget, that is a pretty significant piece that is missing. So let's not forget that. That's very, very important. So we'll try to get EJ back again next Monday. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. I'll have the call of the Rangers and the Capitals for Madison Square Garden tomorrow. That game can be heard on 10:50 a.m. with coverage beginning at 6:30, and 7 o'clock will be the face-off. So looking forward to doing that with Dave Maloney. So if you want to get in touch with me, best way to do that is at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. And again, my apologies for what happened on Friday, but Hey, health sometimes gets in the way. When you become an old man, don't get old. That would be my advice to everybody. Don't get old. Because all of a sudden, colds become sinus infections. And especially when you have the combination of a 55-year-old man with five-year-old twins and all the germs that they bring into the house, it's lucky I'm able to stand on 2 feet most days. But so that's going to happen. But hopefully, fingers crossed, everything will be good for Wednesday. So we'll talk to you again then. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.